The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. We continue our exposition of the gospel according to Luke. And we are tonight in verse number 80. Stand if you would, please. We'll read this together and go right into our sermon this evening. Luke chapter 1, verse 80. Let's read together, shall we? And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Thus far is the reading of God's word. And may he bless it in our hearing this evening. You may be seated. There are three features of John's growth. Feature number one is found in the phrase, the child grew. What does it speak of? Well, it speaks of his bodily growth, obviously. He grew up normally as a boy. We're not told many details of his growing up years. What kind of a boy was he? How did he behave on a day-to-day basis in the home of his pious father, who was a priest, and a mother who came from the lineage of Aaron, also of a priestly lineage in the hill country, which is called Hebron, which was the village of the priests? We're not told much about his boyhood, but we're told a few things. Number one, he was full of the Holy Ghost, even when he was still in the womb. Now turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 13. We find some details here in the prophecy or the message of the angel. Luke 1, 13 says this, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." From this passage, we know certain things. Number one, his name is John, which by interpretation, meaning gracious. Number two, he brought joy and gladness to his parents. Hey, when you were born, do you know? Did you find out later that you were a joy to your mom and dad? We named our first child Joy because we were so joyful. Her middle name is Joy because I was a rejoicing dad and her mother was a rejoicing mother. Still is. I still am. John's name means gracious. What a testimony of God's grace to the old Zacharias and to the mature Elizabeth. And then also we find that he would be great in the sight of the Lord, meaning he would occupy a very important job in the world, that is to prepare the entrance of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And then fourthly, we see that he was full of the Holy Ghost even in his mother's womb. Think about that for a second. That is astounding to me. If there ever was a tangible, a real tangible example of God's choosing individuals to himself before the foundations of the world, this certainly would be it. And this is mind-boggling to me. It is a testimony of the greatness of God. It's one of those songs, Brother Dennis, "How great thou art, O God. How great thou art." He chose him from the foundations of the world, even in his mother's womb. And think of Jeremiah, for example. God told him, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." In Jeremiah, we observe that God is amazingly involved in the life of the prophet. God was the one who formed him in the belly. He was the one who fashioned Jeremiah to be a prophet who would weep for the people, a prophet who would see virtually no converts. Can you imagine? He preached for 40 years, no converts. And yet it was God who ordained him into that ministry. God was the one who ordained him from before the foundations of the world. I want us to turn to Psalm 139, and I want you to see a glimpse of how God is amazingly involved and engaged in human affairs. 139th Psalm. A Psalm of David. Verse 1, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." That is scary, isn't it? "Thou compassest me, my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it." Jump down to verse 13. "For thou hast possessed my reins." That means that God held in his hands your inward parts. And by doing so, he knew it. And he knew it because he's the one who created it in you. "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." My substance, that is every fiber of my being, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, that is in the mother's womb, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Again, a euphemism for the mother's womb. God knows you, for he is the one who made you. And this is an astounding truth of the fact that God is engaged. God is involved. He is amazingly personal and engaged and involved in our human affairs. He chose John the Baptist to be that messenger to prepare the way of the Messiah. He governed every move that John made. He guided every step that John took. And he got the job done in making John to grow up. Feature number one, the child grew. Feature number two, he became strong in spirit. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. This phrase refers to the sense of development of moral character. We find a similar wording in Ephesians 3:16. It says this, that he would grant you, that is, that would God would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. This is talking about being strong in the inner man. John Phillips' commentary on the education of John the Baptist says this, quote, "The old man fell silent. John grew up, doubtless taking advantage of the rabbinical school in his neighborhood. Doubtless, too, he became increasingly impatient with the worldliness, carnality, hypocrisy, and formalism of the religious establishment." By the way, it's beautiful to hear a baby crying in a room like this, isn't it? It tells us of a new life in the church. It tells us, I get goosebumps right now saying that to you. There is life, there is hope, there is confidence, there is a great future for this church because of our babies, all right? And so don't let that bother you. I welcome that. I welcome that even in our sermon this evening. John Phillips continues to say, it is likely that he was a trained priest, John the Baptist, as he grew up. And then about the time of his ordination, he just disappears. He fled to the wilderness to receive his spiritual gifts in meditation, fasting, and prayer, waiting for the day of his showing to Israel. He mastered his Bible, the Old Testament, perhaps the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, brought his body into subjection. You remember, you recall that he was not supposed to drink strong drink or wine. He subjected his body. And then we find that he thought about the Jesus of whom his parents had spoken. A man now who was 6 months younger than he. Gradually, one rousing word took shape in his soul as he's growing up. And that word was repent. And with this battle cry on his lips, he launched his one-man crusade, repent, end quote. I have a crucial question to ask at this time to you. Are you strong in the Spirit? Here's a parallel truth for us tonight, an application for us tonight. John grew up. He was chosen by God for the mission, the preparation for the Messiah. He grew up. If you were saved tonight, did you know that you were chosen by God? Look at Ephesians. Turn there. And put your bookmark there in Luke, because we're going to come back to that. Ephesians chapter 1. You took on an identity other than your previous worldly and fleshly identity. Verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Are you a saint tonight? If you're a saint tonight, this word is for you. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If you're a believer tonight, you've been chosen by God. The question is, are you grown up? Just like John the Baptist grew up and waxed strong in his spirit? Is your spirit strong tonight? Is your moral character strong? If not, then why not? Are you impaired? Are you disabled? What's disabling you? What's stunting your growth? I proclaim to you, you need to grow up. You need your spirit stronger. You need your moral character strong. Well, you might ask the question, Pastor Christian, how do I know that I am growing? Good question. Let's answer that by asking more questions. Do you know more about God this year than the last? Do you do more of God's will this year than the last? Are you applying what you learned from God's word this year? How do you handle truth? That's a good question. How do you handle truth? Because your attitude in handling truth will indicate of your growth in your work, in your walk in Christ. How do you handle God's revelation? How have you responded to the explanation of the Word of God? Meaning, how do you respond to the preaching of God's Word? To the sermon that you hear Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday night, Sunday morning? How do you respond to that? I heard of two farmers talking about their Sunday services. They go to two separate churches. One farmer said to the other, "How was the sermon?" And the other said, "It's all the same noise, ding dong, ding dong." And the other farmer says, "You're lucky you got that. All we get at ours is ding, ding, ding." How have you responded to the sermons you heard? Is there a change in your attitude towards the Lord because of it? Is there a change in your attitude towards the Word of God? Do you now have a high view of Scripture? Is there a bit of change in your love for God because of it? Are you encouraged to love God more? Or are you discouraged and you pull apart from God? You're still in Ephesians. I want you to turn to chapter 4. We'll find here just a couple of indications of your growth. If you are growing, you will find this in your life. And this is just a mini Bible study of the indications of growth in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth, and how should we speak the truth? In love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Growing up into him has to do with how you handle the truth. You speak the truth in love. Well, do you? Because if you do, then that is an indication, my friend, that you are growing in Christ. And so the converse of that is also true. And what is the reverse of that, Pastor Christian? If you know the truth, but you're not doing or speaking it in love, then you're not growing, my friend. You still need some maturity in you. How many of you hear people say to you, "I'll give him a piece of my mind about such and such"? Well, that's the truth. Well, how are you doing it? You may be speaking the truth, but are you doing it in love? Another indication we find is found in 2 Thessalonians, just to the right of Ephesians there, just a few pages. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Say amen when you're there. All right. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith, what? Grows exceedingly. And here is what we're talking about. The love of every one of you, the charity of every one of you, all toward each other abounds. And so when you grow in love for other people, when you grow in love for God, that is an indication that you are growing in your faith. You're growing in your Christian walk. Last one, turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Towards the end of your New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. If you're thinking, wow, those two sentences kind of abruptly end and close this epistle, you would be right. It just kind of, that's so abrupt. And I think that is so abrupt because of this. When you glorify God with your life, it indicates that you are growing in your knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. Growing up in grace, growing up in the knowledge of our Lord, will ultimately result in glorifying Him. And so the reverse of that would be this. Are you glorifying God? Is your life a sweet smelling savor unto Him? Is your attitude a sweet smelling savor unto God? Are your actions glorifying unto Him? Are your thoughts and meditations glorifying unto God? Are your words kind and glorifying unto God? Then that indicates that you are growing in the Lord. If you're not growing, then I proclaim to you, grow up, man. Grow up, woman. Leave the childish things behind. Reach forth unto those things which are before you, pressing forward to the mark of becoming more and more conformed to Christ. Let's go back to our text, Luke chapter 1, verse 80. The three features of John's growth. Feature number one, the child grew. Feature number two, the child waxed strong in spirit. And feature number three, he was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. In the deserts, that phrase is an idiomatic expression. What is that? It is a figure of speech. It doesn't mean necessarily that he lived and grew up in the wilderness all of his life. The idiomatic expression means he was in relative isolation. That he was in relative separation. That he lived a life of distinction. As he grew up, he eventually did his ministry near Jordan River, but this doesn't mean that he lived there in the deserts all throughout his life. Do you know what this is telling us tonight? Do you know where I'm going with this application? It is this. It is tied to the second point of growing up and getting stronger in the spirits. Here's the big takeaway tonight. Here's the big idea in our exposition of this one verse. Here's the big application. I don't want you to miss it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is talking about separation from the world. Being distinct from the world. Separation unto what God has chosen us to do. Separation unto what God purposed our lives for. This also speaks of preparation and equipping and training for what God purposed our lives for. I said earlier, grow up, man. Mature up, woman. Leave the childish things behind. Reach forth unto those things which are before. Pressing toward the mark of becoming more and more conformed to Christ. Let me ask you some questions. Are you ready? Is the world like Christ? No. 1,000 times. No. Of course not. Next question. Then why do you conform to the trends of the world? Pastor Christian, you're getting personal. And I don't like it. Here's another one. With which are you more well-versed? The latest episode of your TV show or your current Bible reading program? Is there a distinction in your life, Christian? Is there a separation of your life, believer? This is the point of the entire verse. That he grew up, his spirit is strong, and he lived in the deserts, in separation, in distinction to the world around him. And I pray tonight that there will be that distinctiveness in our life, in your life as a Christian as well.